My guest at this time is Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul. He was one of the candidates in 2010 most closely affiliated with the Tea Party movement that grew in large part, of course, to greater spending in Washington, but also due to opposition to the president's health care plan. Of course, on Thursday, the Supreme Court, by a 5-4 majority, with the Chief Justice surprisingly providing that fifth vote, upheld the individual mandate and essentially the bulk of the president's health care plan, saying the mandate was unconstitutional based on the Commerce Clause, but constitutional based on the power of Congress to levy taxes. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you, Greg.
Your reaction to the decision and the rationale?
Well, you know, I'm disappointed. The Constitution does give a taxing authority, but the Constitution also enumerates certain powers that the federal government can do. And so if it's not enumerated, it doesn't mean you can tax to do it. So, for example, we don't believe that the Constitution says, well, we want to have a $1 million tax on every handgun. Are we allowed to do that? That would essentially be overriding the Second Amendment. So we say, no, there is no power for the government to do that. So just because you can tax doesn't mean you can have any tax to do any purpose. This is a tax to do a purpose that was not an enumerated power of the federal government. So I think they were incorrect in their logic. But I think the reaction to this is going to be something that you will see a resurgence of the Tea Party. You're going to see a swelling of the crowd showing up. And I think this will have implications in the election, which is where we're going to decide this ultimately.
So the contentions of James Carville and others in recent days that the Tea Party is no longer a major political factor is about to be proven wrong.
I never have given James Carville or thought he was the ultimate authority on the Tea Party, so I don't know. I don't think he'd know what to do if he saw a Tea Party.
Oh, well, in terms of what Congress can do right now, obviously the Republicans control the House. Your party does not control the Senate. So is there much that can realistically be done to roll this back?
Well, you know, we're sort of at an impasse here on a large number of issues because, you know, we can't even get the Democrats in the Senate to produce a budget. So, no, I think it's unlikely that we change anything on Obamacare, but it is an incentive for us to get out to vote in mass and try to say through the ballot box that we think the Supreme Court was incorrect, but also to say that President Obama and the Democratic majority was incorrect in thinking that the government can do all of this. The implications of what's going to happen when Obamacare is fully implemented are not fully understood by people. The CBO has said as many as 20 million people could lose their private insurance and be dumped onto Medicaid. McKinsey Group said it could be 50 to 60 million. If that many people lose their private insurance and go on the government healthcare system, it's going to bankrupt states. States are already the largest thing driving state bankruptcy and insolvency are Medicaid payments. Can you imagine what happens when 20 to 50 million people lose private insurance and go on Medicaid? The consequences, the ramifications of Obamacare have not been fully thought out. The people up here who have big hearts and small minds have passed this thing, and wait till you see what happens. It's going to be a disaster.
We're talking with Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. And, Senator, as you probably know, the president went on television shortly after noon Eastern time on Thursday and was obviously pleased with the decision. He said he understood that there were still a lot of people that didn't like the bill, but he said the last thing we want to do is refight this, go back and make wholesale changes or scrap the whole thing. Obviously, you strongly disagree with that. Do you get the sense that despite large-scale opposition to Obamacare, there's fatigue for the battle, or do you think it's just getting started?
I think the battle starts today again. You know, we battled this, and this was the 100,000 person crowds that were in Washington for Tea Party rallies. You'll see a resurgence of this, and you're going to see a resurgence among the right, and you're going to see the conservative base rally in opposition to this. And I think when you see that, it's going to have profound implications as far as the election goes.
How do you suggest that the man that you've now endorsed for president, Mitt Romney, go about articulating where he stands on this?
Well, you know, one of the things he has said, I think he has the power to do, no matter what the Supreme Court says, I think he could give waivers. you know, the president's already giving waivers to his buddies. If you're a union worker and you've contributed to President Obama, you probably already have a waiver. If you are an expensive restaurant in Nancy Pelosi's district, you probably have a waiver. If you work at McDonald's, you have a waiver. If you work at Burger King, you don't. Apparently, the president can do whatever he wants as far as giving waivers to this bill. I don't think that'll pass constitutional muster of equal protection sometime, but I do think the idea of a President Romney coming in and saying, I will issue waivers to all 50 states, I think that could happen. That can happen even without complete control of Congress.
Senator, is Election Day the last major weapon in the arsenal of those who oppose this?
Yeah, and it's always been a potent weapon for us, and it doesn't go away with after one election. It goes on and on. But I don't believe the people are behind this. I think when the people discover what it's going to do to state budgets, what it's going to do overall to Medicaid, what it's going to be like to be in a two-tiered system. In England, if you're rich, you have private insurance and you don't wait. If you're middle class or poor, you're on the government insurance. That's the system we will head towards. Those on government insurance will wait sometimes a year for elective surgery. They decide in England what you're worth. The last 6 months of your life in England, I think, are worth $23,000. You know, one of the best examples of English healthcare was, you know, the Lockerbie bomber. They said he would only last 3 months, and they interviewed the doctor in England last week, and he said, well, I said he would only last 3 months under socialized medicine. I didn't say how long he'd last if he could get all the drugs he needed. He went to Libya, a third world country, and got 2 testosterone blocking drugs, and he lived for 3 years. So, you know, that's the kind of system we're choosing. If you want the government to run your health care, be prepared for lines. Be prepared that grandma won't get plugged in maybe if it costs too much to plug in her ventilator and or to give her dialysis. For many years, dialysis was restricted in England because they didn't want to dialyze people because it cost too much money.
And that's obviously the forecast you're painting if this whole program comes in full freight. Are you saying that if Mitt Romney does not win come November, that's an eventuality that we're all going to see?
Yeah, and there's worse things. I mean, this is one of the worst. Obamacare is going to be a huge drain and drag on the economy and state budgets. But we're already seeing the demise of whole industries that President Obama doesn't like. Many of his rich friends have solar panel companies, and so he's given $500 million to one rich friend that runs Solyndra. He gave over $1 billion to one of the Kennedys that owns BrightSource. So if you are rich and a contributor to the president and you build solar panels, you get money. But if you're a coal industry person, if you produce coal produces 50% of our electricity, he is said, frankly, he's going to try to bankrupt coal. It's in the process of happening. Much of the coal industry won't survive another 4 years with this president. The question is, are they going to go after natural gas next? He's opposed to the Keystone Pipeline, but the question is he going to go after energy next, domestic energy? And so, really, I'm quite concerned, and I think this election will be incredibly important about the direction and the future of the republic.
Senator, we'll have to leave it there. Obviously, today a major day in the debate, and we'll see where it goes from here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul, one of the leading figures in the Tea Party movement during his campaign for Senate in 2010. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.